Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for this Tuesday. It is the 7th of June, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners KJAA in Globe and KAPR in Douglas. And of course, the Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We have all of our shows up there and archived easy for you 24/7. You can check out any of the shows. And of course, we are live weekdays from noon to 1 p.m. So we have live streaming as well on the KVOI.com site. So there are plenty of opportunities for you to hear the Buckmaster Show wherever you are in Southern Arizona. The lineup for today's show includes our health contributor to the Buckmaster Show, Dr. Victoria Mazes. Dr. Mazes is the Executive Director for the Center for Integrative Medicine at the U of A. Our weekly financial report from Certified Financial Planner Shelley Fishman. At the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with Arizona Attorney General Tom Horn. Lot to talk about there. And we close out with UA climate researcher Zach Guido. And we'll be talking about the closure of Sabino Canyon and Mount Lemmon and these terrible fires that are ravaging the state of Arizona. The Buckmaster Show is primarily interview-driven, but of course we encourage you to join in the conversation with any questions for our guests. If you have a comment or question, call us on the Buckmaster Show live line. That number is 790-2040, 790-2040. And outside of the 502 area code, it's 1-866-725-5467. And we are going to lead off with our health contributor, Dr. Victoria Mazes, Executive Director of the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. She's also a professor of medicine, family, and community medicine and public health at the University of Arizona. Dr. Mazes is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine. She lectures worldwide to academic and community audiences on integrative medical education, women's health, healthy aging, nutrition, and cancer. She is the co-author of Integrative Women's Health. Dr. Mazes, good to see you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Congratulations. You were named, what did I read on your website? One of America's top doctors.
Oh, thank you.
So congratulations for that. And I believe our friend Dr. Horowitz also, Randy Horowitz.
Yes, and a third faculty member at our center, Dr. Patricia Lebenson, was as well.
Well, congratulations to all of you and your colleagues. You know, forever, Dr. Mazes, the food pyramid has been around, kind of telling us what's good to eat. Well, finally, the USDA has changed it, and they've come out with something, choosemyplate.com, and it's a pie chart, and they kind of break down what we should be eating. Some of your thoughts.
Well, I actually think it is a much more sensible way for them to be sharing the information, especially the last pyramid, which was vertically organized with a figure of a human being walking up the side to emphasize
which
exercise.
Which way do I go? This is the Great Pyramid. I have no idea. I'm lost. Do I do the grains? Do I do the fruit? Where am I?
Yes, everyone was very confused by that most recent pyramid. This is really a new take on how to advise about healthy diet from the USDA and the Obama administration, and I think it's much, much clearer than the pyramid. It focuses on these five different areas, which are eating more vegetables, more fruits, grains and protein, and then there's a glass that shows dairy for milk consumption. And it gives you some sense of the portion size, with vegetables being the largest portion of any of those categories.
Now, can we break this down a little bit? So when you say on your plate, you've got fruits, the grains, fruits and protein seem to be of kind of an equal serving, then grains and I guess vegetables at the top of the list. So how many veggies are we talking about? break it down for us.
Well, when you look at the plate, and maybe a pie is really the wrong message to get into one's mind, but when you look at the dinner plate, half of it is filled with vegetables and fruits, and there's more vegetables and fruits. So that's really a very clear message. As you're filling your plate with food, you want, you know, half of the plate to have vegetables and fruits. We typically say 5 to 7 servings of vegetables and fruits. Vegetables are more important, actually, and should be the larger number, and fruits the smaller number. So I think that that is a wonderful and very clear message. The grains, which also consist of a little more than a quarter of the plate, there's an emphasis that's been made by the USDA, which is great news, on whole grains. Still some confusion, because often people think of whole wheat bread as a whole grain food, but whole grains are really the whole grain. So for wheat, it would be the wheat berry. For oatmeal, that is a whole grain food, but bread is a flour predominant food. So that's a refined grain, not a whole grain.
How about protein?
Well, protein, they also, I think, have made some really healthy recommendations. They've recommended fish as one of the protein foods that you want to emphasize, and we're urged to eat 8 ounces a week of fish. By eating more fish, we will increase our consumption of omega-3 fatty acids, which we're very deficient in. But unfortunately, the government didn't necessarily pay as much of attention as I would have liked to have seen in terms of the mercury content. So, for example, they recommend swordfish, which is a predatory fish that contains a lot of mercury. We certainly advise pregnant women or women who might become pregnant not to eat swordfish.
Yeah, I think that's a questionable call, isn't it,
right.
The swordfish?
Right. Agreed.
Yeah.
It is also overfished, so from the environmental perspective, it wouldn't be recommended. But other fish like striped bass, wild Alaskan salmon, herring, sardines, anchovies, mackerel, those are all very healthy, rich in omega-3, good choices, and there's abundance of those in the oceans and very little toxicity in terms of mercury or PCBs.
And if you want more information about the plate, the government has put out this site called choosemyplate.com. Let's leave the plate for a second. You were for 3 days up at a national nutritional conference in the Bay Area. What was the takeaway message, Dr. Mazes?
Well, the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine has been holding this National Nutrition Conference for 8 years now. San Francisco was our 8th year and will be in Boston next year, April 15th through 18th. It's really a wonderful conference where we hear from leading nutritional scientists, from chefs, from primary care doctors in terms of how they can make recommendations about optimal diet, what specific recommendations for specific medical conditions. And every year I come away learning a lot of important things. This year I'd say one of the things I took away was about GMO, genetically modified organisms and genetically modified food. And I think there's some real important information that most people aren't very aware of.
How widespread are GMOs?
Well, you know, in the United States, they're not required to be labeled. And so actually 91% of the soy we consume, 85% of corn and all derivative products from corn, 71% of cottonseed, 88% of canola, 90% of sugar beets. If milk has got the recombinant bovine growth hormone, then that's a GMO food. So a lot of these don't actually require any labeling. And the only way to avoid GMO in this country is to buy organic products.
Do we know how harmful GMOs are? What's the potential there?
We actually don't know for sure, because the studies are very limited. The studies on animals look pretty depressing in terms of their long-term impact, their impact on reproduction, their increased risk of cancer, and even that some of the animals simply will refuse to eat these GMO. If they're given a choice of 2 sets of foods, they completely avoid the GMO. But that doesn't really tell us human risk. So I think we have to follow the precautionary principle, which basically says, you know, when the data's not all in, but there's some potential risk of it, we need to be thoughtful and make careful choices.
It's about 14 minutes past noon. This is the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Victoria Mays is a monthly guest on the Buckmaster Show. She's the executive director for the Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. That's the program that Dr. Andrew Weil started in the late 1990s. The program continues to do wonderful things. More and more doctors being trained in integrative medicine. Yet another batch, I think, that graduated recently, right?
Yes. Last Friday, we graduated 60 physicians. We had our ceremonies at the Westward Look Hotel. It was a festive and wonderful event, and we have another group of 60 coming in this summer.
So they're going out and spreading the word.
Yes, they are, which is wonderful. And you know, I mean, that is good news. Other good news, I just want to go back to the conference, is
sure.
because it's not all bad news in nutrition, but some of the social and political changes that are happening. For example, one of our speakers is the associate physician in chief at Kaiser Permanente in Oakland, California. His name is Preston Maring, and he was sharing with us about some of the steps that Kaiser Permanente has taken. It was the first ever hospital-based farmers market. They now have more than 35 farmers markets in four states around the country. So that's really fabulous. They serve only hormone-free milk in their hospitals, cafeteria, and vending machines, and they're really making available much healthier foods using sustainably grown vegetables on their patients' entree plates at 21 Northern California Kaiser hospitals.
So, yeah, because when you think of it, it really doesn't make sense if you're in the hospital and you're going to get a real bad meal that's not good for you. A little bit of a disconnect there.
Absolutely true. Absolutely. You'd think that hypocrisy would be blatant, but not everybody pays attention to how important it is. I heard recently there was a meeting of oncologists in San Francisco, and the food came from a steakhouse. So we sometimes aren't completely consistent in ways that we ought to be.
Dr. Mays, do you still believe buying organic is, in most cases, superior to conventionally grown?
I do. I think that it's one of the ways that you could protect yourself from any potential risks of GMO. And we have wonderful resources like the Environmental Working Group, EWG.org, that tells you about the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. So obviously organic still costs more if you're having to make decisions based on your pocketbook and what you can afford. It helps you decide where is it really important to go organic and where is it just the conventional is just fine.
Where is it important to go organic?
Well,
if you
typically
have the choice,
strawberries is always at the very top of the list is something. Grapes are often at the top of the list. But then things like bananas and mangoes that get peeled turn out to be just fine to buy conventional.
Okay. Dr. Victoria Mays, is always good to see you. And we will look forward to your appearance with us in July. You always bring us some wonderful health information. And congratulations on everything going on at the Center for Integrative Medicine.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Thank you so much. It's 17 minutes past noon. Shelley Fishman will be a weekly contributor to the Buckmaster Show. He is next. Stay with us.
Imagine a jewelry store that is both sophisticated and organic, where Tucson's rich cultural heritage mingles with contemporary design. We invite you to Veer Jewelers, where our commitment to customer service is surpassed only by our reputation for creating inspired custom jewelry that is as unique as our customers. At Veer Jewelers, you are warmly welcomed, whether you are bringing in an heirloom for repair or design, replacing a watch battery, or shopping for a special gift. Visit our unique showroom centrally located on Campbell, just north of Grant, or visit our website at veerjewelers.com. Veer Jewelers, Tucson's trusted jeweler for more than 25 years.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More. Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero Mori in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromoripizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it. But let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit pyramidfcu.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
It's 21 minutes past the hour of noon on the Buckmaster Show, and we are delighted to welcome Shelley Fishman to the Buckmaster Show. And this is going to be a weekly deal, talking finances with Shelley. What a pleasure, Shelley.
Bill, thank you for having me. Thanks for this opportunity. I am thrilled to be part of the show.
This is going to be good. It's going to give our listeners much-needed financial information that I think will really help them when they make some financial decisions. Shelley, as you know, USA Today is out with an analysis showing that the federal government's financial condition really deteriorated rapidly last year, far beyond the $1.5 trillion in new debt taken on to finance the budget deficit.
Well, obviously, the economy is the term of art these days is headwinds. You know, we've got all of this stuff that is getting in the way of recovery. But the obligations that the government has, both to its citizens and to its external people who have bought our debt, those things haven't gone down. And so as a result, you know, the balance sheet begins to look less and less sound. And all of the concerns that are being expressed by political leaders and economists that we have to do something about that are very well founded.
What can we do at this point realistically to tackle this mountain of debt?
Well, the first thing we have to do is agree to pay the stuff that we've already spent. So we have to raise the debt ceiling. We have to do it in such a way that it is not tied to anything, that we don't spook the international financial markets on the way there. And unfortunately, we're doing that. I mean, you've seen the result. We've had 4 weeks of down markets. And you know, you read the analyses every day and they say, well, the market's down on doubts about, you know, oil or on the Libyan situation. Read this. Well, the reason the market's down is because the markets don't have certainty around what this government is going to do about its obligations. We have to raise the debt ceiling. We've already spent that money. We've committed that money. Let's get that past us. Then let's have a good, aggressive discussion about how much money we should be spending and how much money we should be taxing.
Certified financial planner Shelley Fishman will be with us every week on the Buckmaster Show on Tuesday, 790-2040. Shelley is always willing to give a shot at answering whatever financial question you might have. Getting back to the stock market, you've been uncanny with your predictions over the last couple of years. You've been really right on. And you're saying for this year, you're looking at what kind of an increase?
I was looking at the beginning of the year at a 6% increase. And then by the middle of February, we had gotten there. And I was thinking to myself, well, I can just go home now and not do anything. We're back down to about 4.5% or 5%. I'm still holding to the 6. I think 6 to 7% is what the new normal is going to be as the economy faces slower growth, more competition from overseas. Remember, we now have companies or countries that we compete with that have state-sponsored companies that are doing business as private companies, but they're doing the bidding of their national will. Competing in those kinds of arenas is a whole new thing for us. And, American consumers are not spending what they used to spend. This is, after all, an economy that is two-thirds consumer-driven. And with the unemployment that we have and now some inflation in things like petroleum and foodstuffs, you're seeing people very, very hesitant to spend. You see companies with large amounts of cash very reluctant to invest. The reason they're reluctant to invest is because there's no pull, there's no demand. So you have to go out of the country. You have to be exporting. You have to essentially have a cheap dollar and send the stuff that we manufacture offshore. We're getting better at doing that, but it means that we'll see slower growth in the 3%, 3.5%, maybe 4% range over the next 2 or 3 years. And that, to me, says the fundamentals indicate maybe a 6 or 7% annual increase in the stock market.
A couple of days ago, Moody's was talking about there is a slim, and they pointed out it's a very slight possibility of a downgrade of America's their bond rating. Yeah.
That's
right?
Second shot across the bow. I mean, we got that a couple of weeks ago as well from S&P. What these ratings agencies are saying is if you're creating a fear that you're not going to pay your debts, that fear becomes a self-fulfilling reality. And so stop it. Do what you need to do to pay the bills for the money you've already spent and then get it under control. And make no doubt about it, Bill, we have to get it under control.
But that kind of news, even if you put the word in front of it, very slight, it still spooks the market.
Absolutely.
To a little bit of it, doesn't it?
Oh, sure.
I mean,
not only does it spook the market, but very rational people then say, we need to get more for the money we lend you. So that China, Europe, those people who buy our debt, who buy our treasury bonds and notes, are saying, well, 3% isn't enough. We need more. And that makes our debt more expensive. It causes inflation within this country. It causes us to export that inflation in higher prices. And so the cascading effect, and it's very, very quick. One of the interesting things about the debt market, the bond market, is that it doesn't have the delays the equity markets have. So you'll begin to see that inflation very, very quickly if we don't get our Congress to move on raising this debt limit.
Tell us, since this is your first visit on the Buckmaster Show, a certified financial planner, what is that?
Okay. CFP, or Certified Financial Planner, is essentially a credential that you get. You take 18 credits of graduate work
And then, can't you send it?
No, you can't send it in. You can do it online, by the way, but it's still 18 credits. You take six courses at 3 credits each. Then you take and you study for and take a 10-hour exam to be certified by the board, and that's how you get your CFP.
Folks can reach you how?
795-7950 at the office or www.shellyfishman.com. That's the easiest way, Bill. SHELLYFISHMAN. ShellyFishman.com, and there's plenty of stuff you can use on that website and lots of ways to contact me through that website.
I really look forward to our visit, Shelly.
Oh, this is going to be such fun.
Thank you so much. Stay with us.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelly Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities and insurance products offered through LPL Financial and its affiliates. Member FINRA, SIPC, Pyramid Federal Credit Union is not a registered broker dealer, nor is it affiliated with LPL Financial.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Libyan leader Gaddafi is sounding defiant despite the heaviest and most punishing NATO airstrikes yet. Gaddafi vows to go down fighting. One resident of a town in northern Syria says mutinous soldiers have joined forces with protesters after days of crackdowns, apparently killing dozens of police and security guards. President Obama says the country's economy is on the path of a recovery, but it's got to accelerate. The president spoke today at the White House following a meeting with the visiting German chancellor. Democrats are voicing disappointment with Congressman Anthony Weiner after his admission that he lied about sexually charged online relationships with several women. Wall Street, the Dow up about 47 points. More details at srnnews.com.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pet orthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with 30 projects underway, including River Road to Ruthroth along La Cholla and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution in the area and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tanque Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tanque Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
It is 12:35, and I am Bill Buckmaster. This is the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners in Globe and in Douglas, and all combined, we are covering Southern Arizona from one end of the area to the other. We figure we are heard in at least 8 Arizona counties. Well, Governor Jan Brewer has selected Washington, D.C.-based attorney and former U.S. Solicitor General Paul Clement to argue the state's Senate Bill 1070 case before the U.S. Supreme Court. The governor and Attorney General Tom Horn announced last month that Arizona intends to ask the nation's high court to lift a preliminary injunction that has blocked major portions of that tough immigration law from going into effect. The petition is due on July the 11th. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line is the Arizona Attorney General Tom Horn. Mr. Horn, good to talk with you.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Horn. Can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can now hear you. Thank you very much. How are you?
I'm great. It's always good to be on your program.
Thank you very much. Is it safe to say that the governor's decision yesterday caught you by surprise?
Well, I found out about it that morning, but I've issued a press release indicating that the lawyer she selected is a very fine lawyer, and it's a good addition to the team. It's important that we win this case.
Well, why do you think she didn't just let you handle this?
Well, you know, she's my client, and there are restrictions on what I can say, so I'm just going to stick to the statement that I issued.
And the governor has created a legal defense team to help pay the legal costs associated with SB 1070, and Mr. Clement's fee, I guess, will be paid with that money. Is that your understanding?
That's what the governor's statement said.
Can you talk a little bit, though, if you don't want to talk about specifically Mr. Clement, talk a little bit about why SB 1070 needs to go to the Supreme Court?
Well, I think of SB 1070 as a force multiplier on the border. We have a lot of border guards in our state, and a lot of people have noticed that sometimes they're not on the border, they're back from the border. And if our state and local law enforcement is enforcing the law against illegal immigration within our state, it frees the border guard to be on the border, and that's important because we had over 400,000 people cross in the Tucson sector alone last year. Among them were members of criminal enterprises that have a degree of viciousness that we're not used to in this country. And then of the total people crossing over the borders, over 600 have been from Middle Eastern countries. So, you know, there could be terrorists there. So we really have to strengthen our border. And Senate Bill 1070 doesn't solve the problem, but it's an important component.
Mr. Horn, you testified in Washington recently that the president's claim that the border is, quote, more secure than ever is a myth. Tell us about that.
Well, as I mentioned to you, over 400,000 people crossed in the Tucson sector. In the Yuma sector, they've got it down to 7,500. It used to be in the hundreds of thousands in the Yuma sector. And in 2006, as part of Operation Jumpstart, President Bush went to the Yuma sector, which at that time was one of the worst sectors, and said, we have to do something about it, and he did. And they got it down from hundreds of thousands to about 7,500. If President Obama would do in the Tucson sector what President Bush did in the Yuma sector, we could solve the problem. This would involve additional personnel, additional infrastructure such as roads, additional technology so that the technology can sense people crossing and then the roads can enable the border guard to get there in time. And we could get control of the border, but we clearly haven't. Over 400,000 is the equivalent of an invasion of 20 divisions. It's utterly unacceptable. And the people crossing over, many of them are much more violent than was true in the past. The number with criminal records has increased from 8% to 17%. And all you have to do is ask some ranchers who live on the border, and they will tell you it's much less safe than it's ever been.
790-2040, 790-2040, or if you're outside of the Tucson area, 1-866-725-5467. If you would like to ask the Attorney General of Arizona, Tom Horn, a question, please feel free to jump in and take part in the conversation. The U.S. Supreme Court's ruling recently upholds Arizona's employer sanctions law. What did you think of that?
Well, I thought it was a good portent for what would happen with Senate Bill 1070. While they both have details that are different, they have the same general theme, which is, does the federal government preempt the states from doing something about illegal immigration? And we knew in advance there were four liberals on the Supreme Court who would say preemption almost regardless of the facts, and four conservatives who would say, no, the states have a right to do something. But nobody knew where Justice Kennedy stood, and his having voted with the four conservatives is an indication that he's likely to be on the conservative side when these kinds of preemption issues arise, which is good in trying to predict what will happen with Senate Bill 1070.
Our friend Mark Evans at TucsonCitizen.com, Mr. Horn, writes that the court may have just given the nation a path out of this immigration mess. Do you see that as being that important, this employer sanctions ruling?
No, I don't think it, I don't know that it's a path out of the mess. I think the path out of the mess is to do more at the border. I think that's the key component. We've got to stop the open, porous border that we've had where people can cross at will, and you get vicious criminals and people from the Middle East who could be terrorists, as well as a very large number of illegal immigrants. That, to me, is the real test. But I think the decision is important in that it does, in fact, give us a feeling that it's a higher probability that the U.S. Supreme Court will reverse the Ninth Circuit and reinstate the portions of Senate Bill 1070, which I think are a help. They're not the solution, but they're a help in dealing with the immigration problem.
We are expecting Mr. Hoopenthal to make the state school superintendent to make some kind of a decision very soon on ethnic studies. What's your feeling on how that might go?
Well, you know, people know my view because I issued an opinion the day I was sworn in as Attorney General. You know, the statute took effect December 31st, which was a Friday at midnight. I was sworn in as Attorney General at noon on Monday, January 3rd. So, and the statute gives the superintendent the right to initially make a unilateral decision as to whether the district is out of compliance. So on the morning of January 3rd, I held a lame duck session with myself, and I ruled that they were out of compliance. And people can read my opinion at my website, azag.gov. And in that in those findings, I specifically said that that it was my view the only way to cure this situation would be to eliminate the RASA studies program, that there was no possibility of curing it by halfway measures. So that's my view, and I'm hoping that's the view that John Hoopenthal will take, but that's his decision to make, not mine.
You know, so much of what the Attorney General's office has been focusing on immigration, but I know you're real active. You're trying to be more and more active on consumer affairs, aren't you?
Yes. We've done a lot on consumer matters. First of all, we started an initiative for seniors called TASA, the Task Force Against Senior Abuse, and that we didn't spend any additional money. We just reorganized so that in every section that might be involved, there's a specialist on senior abuse who's also a specialist in that section. So whether it's the criminal section, consumer protection section, Medicare fraud section, public outreach, whatever it is, there's somebody there. And so people can call a number, and they'll reach Britt James, who's the one who takes these phone calls. And the phone number is a Phoenix number, 602-542-2124. The 2124 is easy to remember because 21 is the voting age and 24 is what the voting age, I'm sorry, 21 is the drinking age and 24 is what the drinking age should be. And if they see signs of senior abuse, whether it's physical, emotional, financial, you know, new people on the bank account or whatever, they can call that number and then she'll transfer them to the relevant person. We're reinstating sting operations, and the example that I give is the car repairs, where they used to send a team out where one of them was a certified car mechanic, so they would bring a perfect car to a car repair place, and then if they pretended that there were things wrong with the car that there weren't, they could prosecute them. They stopped doing that a number of years ago because it doesn't involve a lot of money. But my view is that even if it's a small amount of money, if the car repair places think that the next person in the door might be from the Attorney General's office, they're going to treat all of us much better. And so I think it's very worthwhile doing, even though the dollar amount isn't large. And so we have a lot of activity. Then we're doing a lot in the area of mortgage fraud. So we're very active in consumer protection.
Okay, Tom Horn, it's always good talking with you. Thanks for being on the Buckmaster Show.
Great to talk with you, Bill, and I'm delighted to come back whenever you want me.
Thank you very much. That's Tom Horn, Arizona's Attorney General. We are coming up now on 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show. Very important information coming up next about these fires in Arizona and the closures of Sabino Canyon and Mount Lemmon. That's coming up next on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you too can make a difference, visit us at assistanceleaguetucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit Service. With 30 projects under construction, including Tankerville Road and the Catalina Highway to Houghton and the bus pullout at Ina and Oracle, please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tankerville, at the southwest corner of Tankerville and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tankerville, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tankerville and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA Four Diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting. And you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
It is 12:29. This is the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster, and of course everyone knows about the fires in Arizona, actually New Mexico also. Lots of fires over there. It's really a bad situation, and probably in about 48 hours from now, beginning on noon on Thursday, the entire 2-million-acre Coronado National Forest will begin closing because of the extreme fire danger. The closure includes the popular Sabino Canyon area north of Tucson. And if you're going up to Mount Lemmon, you will not be allowed to stop on the Catalina Highway on your way up to Summer Haven. I mean, that area will remain open to residents, business operators, and the public, but again, there will be no stops. The first 5 months of 2011 will go into the record books as some of the driest on record in the Tucson Valley. Big fires, at least three big ones in Arizona right now, including one down in southern Arizona, west of Tubac. What can we do? What can we hope for? And I suppose the answer to this, I'll answer my own question before we get to our guest, is we better hope we get some good summer thunderstorm rains coming in here. Joining us in studio on the Buckmaster Show is Zach Guido, Associate Physical Scientist for Climate Assessment for the Southwest, which is based at the University of Arizona's Institute for the Environment. Zach, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me back.
I mean, you cannot get away from the fires. The smoke is in the air here in Tucson. You were just showing me before we went on with this segment, when you look at the drought situation on the map of Arizona and New Mexico, and then you look at the fires, it pretty much parallels where they are, doesn't it?
Yeah. New Mexico is seeing a little bit more fire activity this winter, or this summer, or this spring, actually. and I guess it was all set up by the record dry winter that we had that was caused in part by a moderate to strong La Nina event, which traditionally pushes storms north of southern Arizona and New Mexico. And that played out again this winter. And as a result, extreme and exceptional drought conditions are now classified in southern parts of both states, and really set the stage for the spring fire season. And yeah, if you look at the maps of where the fires have been burning, they pretty much map on to those areas of exceptional and extreme drought.
When we talk about extreme, what's the difference between the extreme and the exceptional category?
Well, the U.S. Drought Monitor classifies these differently, and basically the exceptional drought is the most severe category, and it's a 1 in 50 years drought. So more or less, if you look at the statistics, they play out, they occur about 1 in every 50 years, whereas the extreme drought is about 1 in every 20 years. It's not to say that you can't have an exceptional or an extreme drought in the following year, but they have occurred in 2004, I believe, in Arizona and New Mexico. There was a similar drought characterization as there is now.
When do you pinpoint when this drought began here in southern Arizona? At least 10 to 12 years?
Well, there's two types of drought, really. There's long-term drought and there's short-term drought, and they respond differently. The short-term drought conditions really started in the winter in October. Both states, Arizona and New Mexico, were relatively drought-free. And through the course of the winter, they've incrementally increased in drought severity because the winter was dry. In January, I think New Mexico had the driest year in the last 116 years, and Arizona had the second driest. And so the short-term drought conditions really started this winter, and the long-term drought conditions probably late 1990s.
Our climate scientist from the University of Arizona and frequent contributor to the Buckmaster Show, Zach Guido, is with us. And when you look at some of this precipitation, what there is of it, I mean, we're talking here in the Tucson area. I think we had like one rain day in the last 5 or 6 months here in Tucson. It's certainly less than half an inch of rain, way, way below where we should be. So I guess, what are you hearing from your climate associates about this monsoon or the summer thunderstorm season?
Well, that's
really... Is that all over the block? Some of the people are saying it's going to be a good one, a bad one, mediocre.
Yeah, the monsoon season is what everybody is talking about right now. And basically, there's no clear answer. I think that's the easiest thing that I could say. Depending on who you talk to, I think the official forecast right now issued by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, they say that there is equal chances that the monsoon will be above average or below average or near average. So they're not giving much indication, and some other people that I've spoken with expect there to be an early onset, perhaps. Others say that perhaps a late onset. When it comes to forecasting, the forecasts really aren't up to snuff yet. There is some ability to forecast the onset if you have real strong indicators in the climate. If you have really warm or really cold sea surface temperatures in the Pacific Ocean or in the Gulf of California or even in the Atlantic Ocean, you can kind of hedge your bets and say that it'll be an earlier or late onset. Now, when you move past the onset time, the forecasts really aren't there yet, and it's an area of active research, and it's a prize in climatology here in the Southwest for sure.
We talked about La Nina. The record La Nina actually, I guess, has ended. Australian meteorologists declared La Nina dead. Ocean cooling of the past year finally over, and the United Nations says it's not likely to come back later this year. So what does La Nina usually mean for us here in the Southwest?
Well, so what La Nina is it's a cooling of the sea surface temperatures in the tropical Pacific Ocean, and that has rippling effects through the climate globally. It's like dropping a stone into water and seeing those ripples move outward. And what effects happen here in the Southwest is the storm track, the average position of the westerlies, which bring in storms off the Pacific Ocean, pushes north. And what happens is most storms miss the southern parts of Arizona and New Mexico, and they hit further north. The Pacific Northwest is wet during that time. Colorado and the Rocky Mountains can be wet as well, although it's not always the case. But that's what played out this year. There were a few storms that happened here in southern parts of Arizona and New Mexico, but by and large, most of them went north.
I guess La Nina still had one last kick because I was checking out one of the weather sites. I think it was Weather Underground, and they said that Central California, an area I like very much, the Big Sur area, had 8 inches of rain. I think it was June 1st. It was the most rain. Normally, that's Central California. June is not a big rain-producing month, and they had 8 inches in the Big Sur area.
Well, yeah, I think that was that could have been a tropical depression or a tropical storm.
Some kind of a low that was just parked off the
right, which may not be directly linked to La Nina, but
if you've ever been on the Big Sur Road, I'm sure they had washouts all along there with 8 inches. But we can only hope that we get some kind of rain during our monsoon season that will be enough, certainly, to put out some of these fires. Your climate, Southwest Climate Outlook that you put out, it's a very terrific service. Can anyone subscribe to that, Zach?
Yep, you can subscribe by going to our website, which is Climas or climas.arizona.edu.
That's CLIMAS.arizona.edu.
Mm-hmm. We put out this, the Southwest Climate Outlook, which is sort of a comprehensive look at the climate in Arizona and New Mexico, which is really the domain that that CLIMAS looks at. And we also put out a another monthly publication called this one will be the Southwest Monsoon Tracker. So for people that are interested in the monsoon, we'll talk about the latest science. We'll look at what the experts are saying about the monsoon and also do some monitoring.
And you're still, I guess, the monsoon is traditionally starts around the 4th of July.
Yeah, that's right. A few years ago, the National Weather Service sort of made a static definition of what the monsoon is and between June 15th and the end of September. And that was basically to help communicate the hazards. But scientifically, the onset of the monsoon can be defined in a number of different ways. But it's usually around the 1st or the 4th of July for this part of Arizona. As you move north, it's later.
Whatever you call it, I'm ready for it.
Okay.
Zach, thank you very much for being with us, talking about the Southwest Climate Outlook. Zach Guido from the University of Arizona, climate scientist, always welcome here on the Buckmaster Show. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
All right. We are quickly coming up on 1 o'clock on the Buckmaster Show. Thank you very much for listening today. And wherever you are in southern Arizona, remember, it's the Buckmaster Show live. Monday through Friday, noon to 1. See you tomorrow.
Thirty KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.